You're listening to an audio resource from Vineyard Church of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. We are joining God's mission, transforming all things, and you're invited. To learn more about us and how you can connect, please visit votr.church.
Good morning, everyone. Hello, it's so great to be with you all. Thank you for joining us. And hello, everyone on the live stream as well. Thanks for tuning in this morning. My name is Natalie, and I'm one of the pastors here at the Vineyard, and I'm excited to be sharing with you this morning. We're continuing our little mini-series that Jeff has kind of called, and last week we were focusing on God's heart for the poor, and specifically how, as a church, we can partner with Convoy of Hope to make sure we are joining God's mission around the world and transforming all things. As you heard last week, it culminates with a big offering to feed the hungry across the world. Today, we are asking you to give generously and to join us as we give one day's wage, whatever we would earn in one day of working, and then we give 100% of that offering away to the poor. And I love our one day offering because I know it makes such an incredible impact all around the world. Well, last week, Jeff taught from the book of Leviticus, and he challenged us to be intentional. He explained that from the very beginning, God has called us to live our lives with the poor at the forefront of our minds, that to not put their needs on the back burner, to not give and offer only our leftovers, but to be extravagant in our generosity from the very beginning. And I'm continuing that conversation this morning, but this time from the life of Jesus. If last week was be intentional, then this week the phrase is be responsive. It's both intentionality from the very beginning, but it's also the ability to see the needs in front of you, to hear about the needs around you, and to be responsive in a way that glorifies God and helps us to become more like Jesus. And you see this on perfect display in the life of Jesus. So this morning, I'm going to read from a few different scripture passages back to back to back. And I want you to notice how Jesus is not only initiating and being very intentional with the people in the world around him, but also how responsive he is to their needs, to their struggles, and to their pain. So let's start and look at Matthew 9, 35 and 36. Verse 35, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus saw the crowds. He saw that they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he had compassion. He initiated, he took action, but he also responded to them with incredible compassion. And that's our invitation. Our invitation is the same. As Christians, we are to be like Christ. As Christians, we are to be moved with compassion when we see, hear, and witness the struggles of those around us. Still in Matthew, look at chapter 20. In this passage, there are two blind men on the side of the road. Their inability to see in that day and age meant that they were probably social and sometimes even spiritual outcasts. People would walk by them and think that their sin or maybe the sins of their parents caused this blindness. They were like lonely. They were likely lonely and they were likely poor and forced to beg on the side of the road for help. And when Jesus walked by, they cried out for mercy. They cried for help. And others tried to mute their voices, cover up their cries, and ignore their plea for help. But Jesus was aware. He heard their cries, and he responded to their need. Look at verse 34. Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately, they received their sight and followed him. Now, obviously, the miracle is pretty amazing there, but look at the character and compassion of Jesus. It's so easy to walk on by. It's so easy to cast a blind eye to those in need, and it can kind of be uncomfortable at times to become aware of the needs of others. But Jesus walked slow enough. And that's something that I really wanted to pay attention to. He walked slow enough to pay attention. He was never in such a rush to the next ministry moment that he missed the very thing that was right in front of him, to provide these concrete, practical needs, to provide for those things around him. And when he saw, he responded. Similar miraculous story, this time in Luke chapter 7. In this passage, a woman had lost her son. The context of the scripture tells us that she was already a widow. She had already lost her husband, and now she lost her only son. And this is a big deal because we're not just talking about the loss of life, we're talking about the loss of provision as well. And in their culture, this was basically a poverty sentence for this woman for years and years, and maybe even the rest of her life. Jesus became aware of the situation. He initiated with the woman, but then he responded with incredible compassion. Look at Jesus in Luke 7:13. When the Lord saw her, his heart overflowed with compassion. "Don't cry," he said. And just a few verses later, the boy gets raised from the dead, and obviously this powerful miracle changed her life, but I also love what started it all. The phrase, "his heart overflowed with compassion." I love that our Lord and God has a heart that overflows with compassion. And I pray and I hope and I ask that all of our hearts would become more and more like his. One last example, which is actually two stories that I wanted to share pressed together, and they're both from the Gospel of Mark. The first one is from Mark 6:34, and this is when Jesus feeds the 5,000. This is a famous miracle where Jesus literally multiplies food and cares for and tends the people in need from a place of compassion. Look at verse 34. Jesus saw the huge crowds as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So Jesus is healing the sick, he's teaching about the kingdom, but he's also responding to the very basic needs of food and hunger for the people all around him. He is responding with compassion to meet their needs. Now, fast forward just a few chapters, this time in Mark 8, and guess what? Jesus does it again. Jesus fed the 5,000, and then just two chapters later, he fed the 4,000. This is in Mark 8, verses 1 through 3, and I want you to really look at this because there's an important piece here that I want to draw out. Verse 1. About this time, another large crowd had gathered, and the people ran out of food again. Jesus called his disciples and told them, "I feel very sorry for these people. They have been here with me for 3 days, and they have nothing left to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will faint along the way, for some of them have come a long distance." Jesus fed the 5,000. He cared for their basic needs and filled their empty bellies. Then, two chapters later, it also said he fed the 4,000. In verse 2, though, it says something so simple that you can almost miss it if you're not careful. It says, the people ran out of food again. It happened again. The same problem happened again, and Jesus still responded with compassion. He still responded with care, and he still responded by providing for their needs. I think it's common in our day and age to look at persistent problems and say things like, haven't they learned from their mistakes? Or why did the same problem happen again so quickly? Maybe if I keep giving, they'll keep asking. And when will they learn to provide and care and be responsible for themselves? Our culture can be very quick to get to a place of compassion fatigue. And oftentimes the byproduct of this kind of attitude and response is not compassion and provision, but a callousness of heart or the stinginess of generosity, but not Jesus. And therefore, hopefully not us, not the followers of Christ. We want awareness again. We want compassion again, and we want to respond again, again and again and again. We want compassion again. There can be no limit to our compassion, and there can be no limit to our responsiveness. Right now, all over the world, there are groups of people who are like sheep without a shepherd. All over the world, there are blind men, just like we've read about in Matthew 20. There are women who are suffering just like in Luke 7, and there are hungry and starving people just like in Mark 6 and in Mark 8, and God is calling us to be responsive again and again and again. So here's something that we can learn from the life of Jesus. Jesus was aware of the needs around him. He walked slow enough. He opened his eyes to see. He listened to the cries of the people around him, and he paid attention to the needs that were present. Once Jesus was aware, he was moved to compassion. Over and over again, the scriptures say Jesus was moved with compassion, and then he acted. He saw, and then he felt compassion for the people. And this compassion fueled his response. This helped him and motivated him, and it motivated the miraculous and impacted the people. And once the people experienced the generosity and compassion and kingdom activity that came from Jesus, they received hope. Hope in Christ, hope for their situation, hope for a way out, and hope for the future marked by relationship with Jesus. And this is what I want to be about. This is what I want us to be about. And through Convoy of Hope, we get the chance to act an awful lot like Jesus. When you give your one day's wage, we are joining with Convoy of Hope in their compassionate response to people in need. So in particular, they respond with this like four-pronged attack that they do, then they do much more than these four things, but these four things are so powerful. So I want to highlight them for you this morning. They are the children's feeding program, where they feed kids through schools and churches and make sure they have what they need to survive. They have a women's empowerment program that equips women so they can grow businesses and to discover their identity in Christ. They have an ag program to develop farmland and empower local people to be leaders within their community. And a disaster relief teams, response teams that mobilize the church in the pathway of natural disasters that tend to leave thousands in dire situations. I'm going to share a bit more about that in a moment. But let's take a look at this video to hear from a woman named Teru.
I went through a lot of ups and downs when my husband died. After he passed, I had to become stronger, and I struggled to provide for my children. My daughter told me that food would be provided for her at school through Convoy of Hope. I was overjoyed because I didn't have to worry about her being hungry anymore. Through my daughter's participation in the feeding program, I learned about Convoy's Women's Empowerment Program.
Since 2010, more than 3,000 women, destitute women in absolute poverty, have been economically empowered. We are taking the mothers of the school feeding children and bring them to our Women Economic Empowerment Program, so that sustainably they can feed their children in the future.
Through the training, we learned how to make injera and how to run a business. After I joined the Women's Empowerment Project, I have seen so many changes in my family's life. I don't worry because I'm not in debt anymore. I have money to buy food and I can provide for my children. I even have a savings.
Women who cannot eat daily, now beyond that, they have started saving, they have expanded their businesses, they have expanded their income, they are improving the livelihood of their children, so they are models in the community. The community is learning much from them. That's amazing.
I can't even express my happiness because I never expected days like this would come. The help we received from the Women's Empowerment and Children's Feeding programs has changed our lives. If my husband was alive, he would be proud. Thank you very, very much.
I love everything about that video. And I love that when we give, we get to be a part of hundreds of stories like hers. As I mentioned, the Women's Empowerment Program is a huge staple to how Convoy impacts entire communities. When I took a Vineyard team down to El Salvador a few years ago, we got to meet women in the program and see the types of businesses that they were building. And it was so amazing to see and hear from the women, to hear the stories about the training, the expertise, and the support that these women were receiving from Convoy of Hope. And to hear how these women were becoming heroes for their community, not Convoy. They weren't the heroes, it was the women that they emphasized. And every Christmas, we throw a Christmas brunch to celebrate all that Convoy is doing with the Women's Empowerment Program, specifically. And I want you to save the date for that one as well. That's going to be on December 4th. In addition to the Women's Empowerment Program, Convoy feeds kids all over the world. Jeff talked just last week about our church's involvement specifically in the country of Zimbabwe, where because of your generosity, we are able to be currently feeding 2,000 kids every single day. And I can't wait to see that number increase over the months and the years ahead. This is an amazing opportunity. There's a lot of room to grow. There's 9 million people starving in Zimbabwe currently. 2,000 is just a start, and that's still 2,000 kids who didn't have a consistent meal before we started partnering with Convoy. We may never know how many lives that we collectively will be able to save together. But it's not just Zimbabwe. In total, Convoy is feeding 387,000 kids every single day in some of the most overlooked and under-resourced areas around the world. They also have a farming and agriculture ministry. We hope to take another missions trip in 2022 so that we can witness more of this work together. But when I led our team, we were able to see this ministry at its highest level. The men and women were being trained in sustainable farming practices that are specific to their soils, to their climate, and to their natural habitats. Again, by empowering the local people of these countries, they are the ones becoming the leaders, not Convoy of Hope. Convoy is dedicated to giving hand-ups, not handouts, and the longevity of their programming is making generational change. Finally, Convoy of Hope excels when it comes to natural disaster response teams. It seems like natural disasters are happening all the time. Hurricane Ida hit the Gulf Coast again. Haiti was devastated by another giant earthquake earlier this year. Fires were out west again. Famine hitting sub-Saharan Africa. The list goes on and on. And it's tragic to watch the consistency in which they come. But as a church, because Convoy is such a huge partner of ours, every time a natural disaster comes, we know that we already have a team on the ground, that we are responding to real needs in real time. In the last year alone, Convoy responded to 62 different natural disasters around the U.S. and the world, and they are typically the first organization in and the last organization out. And frequently, in times of disaster, this is something I really like about Convoy, is they will base their operations from local churches so that they can mobilize believers to serve and set the local church up as the ongoing caretaker for the individuals in the community, for those in need. And this is such a beacon of hope in times of desperate need. And as Christians, this is our calling. Last week, Jeff talked about our call to be intentional. In this week, I'm talking about our call to be responsive. If we will receive this calling from Jesus, if we can watch his example and follow in his footsteps, I know that it will change us because generosity always changes us. But it will also change the world. By empowering women and feeding kids, raising up farmers to provide for their communities, and to respond to disasters in desperate times. Just like we did last week, I'm going to play one last video. And although we normally do a time of reflection before our ministry time, let this video serve as our reflection time together today. And if you're ready, allow this video to provide you time to maybe even give online or prepare your offering. After the video, I'll be back up with the worship team to lead us into a time of ministry and response.